Blog Talk Radio.
I know it's just something about ya. Got me feeling like I can't be without ya. Anytime someone mentions your name, I be feeling as if I'm around ya. Ain't no words to describe you, baby. All I know is that you take me high. Can you tell that you drive me crazy? Cause I can't get you out my mind. Think of you when I'm going to bed. When I wake up, think of you again. You are my homie, lover, and friend. Exactly why you light me up inside. Like the 4th of July. Whenever you're around, I always seem to smile. And people ask me how. Well, you're the reason why I'm dancing in the mirror.
Barking, that would have scared my guests, and then it would just been a total mess. But I am so excited for more than one reason. One, I have a brand new guest. It's never been on my show before, but she will do magnificent because this woman is absolutely amazing. Just wait. We're going to talk all things vampires and Celtic and French and romance and oh, yes. But first of all, before we do that, this morning, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, and it's because of y'all, because I say on every show, it's not my show, it is your show, has been your show since day one. Oh, and that song in the shower, Becky G, that was for my little granddaughter in heaven. God love you, Ramonda. Thank you for giving your organs and allowing another child to live. But back, I digress. This morning, I ran the numbers, ladies and gentlemen, and because y'all are so, so wonderful, my guests, the listeners, the networking. We're at 70,470 listeners just on the show. In Australia, God love you. You continue to be the biggest listening base we have. And thank you for the Teske Brothers. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've not heard them, go pull them up, because they are a mixture of Johnny Lang, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Robert Jones, Johnson. See, I can't talk tonight. Robert Johnson, Roy Orbison, all of the great blues singers. They should have been born on the streets of New Orleans and not in Australia, because they sound like they come out of the Big Easy. They're magnificent. So when you add all the podcasts I put this show up on, you know, the podcast, the Spreaker, the SoundCloud, the MixCloud, the podcast.com, and the Podcast Garden, and then all the ones that automatically goes up on the YouTube, the iTunes, the FM.com, and the TuneIn Radio, we have reached 88,225 listeners in over 70 countries. We are growing by leaps and bounds, and it is just so exciting. It's exciting for the guests. It's exciting for you listeners. It's exciting for me, and I see big things coming in 2018. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, that being said, mark your calendars, because on January the 5th at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, now if you're in a different time zone, you'll have to figure it out, but at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on January the 5th, I will be on Investigation Discovery for the second time. The name of the show is Married with Secrets, and I will be discussing Gerard Schaefer, who was Florida's first serial killer, who killed between 9 and 35 young women. And his wife did not know what he did. He was a Martin County deputy. And the name of the book that I wrote that is this true crime about the victims of this crime is called Silent Scream. So get that book before you see the show, Married with Secrets, January the 5th at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, yes, I'll keep reminding y'all, because it's called shameless promotion. So that being said, ladies and gentlemen, my guest tonight is absolutely magnificent. I am so excited to have her here. Her name is Ashlyn Lane. The last name is spelled L-A-Y-N-N-E. And she is the author of contemporary romance and the award-winning erotic paranormal romance Succession, the Progeny series, as well as an accomplished songwriter and poet. I love her already. She's an avid horror movie fan and admitted vamp groovy. See, love the vamps. Gotta have the vamps. And lover of all things Celtic. That's another thing we have in common. A hopeless romantic, she's always had a thing for the fanged ones and hot guys in kilts. Now, I always wanted to know what was under the kilts. Ashlyn writes on the edge and combines erotica and romance and sensual tales that always feature heroes with hearts. A flexitarian, Ashlyn enjoys cooking vegetarian recipes that support a healthier lifestyle. And in her spare time, ladies and gentlemen, she likes to read, watch crime shows, see, she's a woman after my own heart, and spends time with her family. Ashlyn juggles the hats of wife, mother, full-time employee, and part-time writer, hoping to write exclusively in the future. She is an advocate of autism research, and she is always looking for projects to benefit the cause. She lives in the southern United States with her husband and son. And see, I knew she lived in the South because I recognize the accent. We are sisters of the South. Welcome, Miss Ashlyn. How are you, my darling?
I'm good. Thank you for having me tonight.
Well, thank you for coming. And see, I knew you. I know that accent. You can take the girl out of the South, but you can't take the South out of a girl.
Isn't that the truth?
I'm telling you what. I've been in Florida for 13 years. And everybody says, what part of Georgia are you from? Okay. Thought I'd lost it, I'll admit. So tell me, my new friend, how in the world did you get involved in not only writing, but writing about sexy guys and kilts and vampires and erotica, paranormal romance and all that goes with it? Was this something you did as a child? Was it something you fell into? Was it a dare? How did you get here?
Well, when I was 8 years old, I placed third in an Optimist oratorical contest, and that kind of was the beginning of everything. I kind of got addicted to the cheering of the crowd and the recognition. And then when I was a teenager, I dabbled in a little bit of poetry. And then in my 20s, I started songwriting. And pretty much my first novel, I kind of dared myself. I said, I don't think you can do it. Because,
no,
you know, writing novels and writing poetry, I feel like use two different sides of your brain.
Mm.
So I just said, we're going to try. And if you don't finish, it's okay. At least you tried. So I did finish it, and I had it published. And now we're on the 9th book. So this is like 9 books later, and I'm still writing.
I am so proud of you, because I've had this conversation with just about every author, poet, artist I've had on the show. And poetry, when you think about it in this perspective, poetry set to music becomes a song.
That's true.
Poetry fleshed out becomes a novel.
Well, it did for me. You're exactly right, because I kind of built on the writing of the poetry, and then I progressed in the songs, and then it eventually became novels. So you're right.
Yep. One leads to the other. Sherry Rensselaer, you and I were talking about her earlier. She, during Halloween, was reading her poetry from her poetry book.
Mm.
Well, I am not a poet. It's very difficult for me to think about how to write poetry. Well, I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden I'm writing all this damn poetry that won't shut up. And I'm going, stop, I don't do poetry. And my brain is saying, yeah, well, you do now. So
that's right, you do now.
I said, okay, fine. And that led to the book that I started. So it everything that you did led to where you are. So it was a journey with building blocks.
That's true. That's so true.
So what was the first book that you wrote and said you couldn't finish, but you finished anyway?
My very first book was The Progeny. And it started with a dream, actually. I dreamed about Asher, who is my vampire lover who falls in love with a Wiccan. I dreamed about him, and I really didn't know what to do with that. And I called my late grandmother, God rest her soul, and I said, Granny, I just dreamed about somebody. I don't know who he is. I don't know what to do with this. And it just kind of snowballed from there. I've always loved vampires. Brad Pitt is responsible for that. But, yeah.
The vampire
was
that.
Mm-hmm. Interview with a Vampire when I was a teenager. That did it for me. But after that, I was into all things vampires, Brad Pitt, hot guys and kilts, all of that. But actually, Outlander is to I credit for that, because I'm a big Outlander fan. So, yeah.
Well, when you called your grandmother and you said, I had this dream, now what do I do with it? Being the grandmother that I can imagine her to be, because I'm sure that she loved you beyond words, and anything that her sweet little granddaughter wanted to achieve, she was in her corner. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand, this is a Southern grandmother, and Southern grandmothers are kind of like that. So
yeah.
What did she tell you when you told her that?
Well, she said, baby, you've always loved to write since you were little, and if you feel like this is something that you need to write, you do it. You do whatever you feel like you need to do with this, because there's a reason why you have the dream.
Absolutely. And see, I can hear your grandmother saying that. Her voice is dancing around in my head saying that, and she was very serious, I'm sure, in that statement.
Yeah.
Gotta love
those grandmothers. I just kind of started dreaming more things that became scenes in the book, and before I knew it, I had a completed book.
How long from the time that you finished your book did it take you to become published?
Well, I actually got a contract with a small publisher before I'd even finished it. She read the first four chapters of it and then asked to see the rest of it, and I told her I'm not done, and she said, well, keep writing.
Wow.
And I think maybe 5 or 6 months.
Good for you.
5 or 6 months, yeah.
See, you were supposed to be doing that. Because everything fell into, yeah, everything fell into place like it was supposed to. Now, let's back up a little bit, because you are a lover of all things Celtic and French. Why?
Well, I took 5 years of French in school. There was just something about the language that I just love, the way the words flow when people speak it, and I just loved French when I was younger. So, naturally, I made my vampires French because I love French so much. And as far as Celtic, I don't know. It happened before Outlander, but just when I started reading those Outlander books, I just was like, wow, it's just something about a Scottish man and the kilts and the way they pronounce their words. And it's just, I mean, and the jewelry is so beautiful. I have lots of Celtic jewelry. It's just really beautiful. I just love everything Celtic. I just do.
Well, you know that your Wiccan witch, if you go back into history,
mm-hmm.
the Wiccans started out as druids, which is Celtic.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you brought everything that you loved into that first book.
I sure did.
You go, girl.
I sure did.
Ladies and gentlemen, in our world, it is amazing the things that we find out. And because my background, my ancestry, that my mother kept denying for years and years and years until my DNA came back, my ancestry is Scotch-Irish. And there is a love of the land and a love of family and a love of the clan
mm-hmm.
with the Scotch and the Irish. And they can fight amongst themselves, but no outsider's going to come in here and be messing with us.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to integrate your French vampire and your little Wiccan witch that goes all the way back to the Celts, and I'm sure that you integrated more of that in your series with your Scottish kilted guys.
Mm-hmm. Although he hasn't worn a kilt yet, but I think he will later on in the series. But yeah, I just enjoy reading about the culture, and like you said, they are very family oriented, and I did put a lot of that into those books. And plus, I thought it would be a challenge to have a guy who's potentially going to be a rock star with this kind of background, and then there's this code where he's not supposed to be intimate with a woman until he marries her. So, yeah, it makes for a lot of tension between him and his love interest.
Oh, you're so bad, Ashley.
I know.
You are awful. So let me ask you this. In your, you have, there's two different series, the Progeny and the, the Alternary series?
Alterity.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your Celtic series?
Yeah, the Alterity series is about a Scottish-born guy who wants to be a rock star. His name is Austin McKenzie, and he meets Liz Carlisle, and they fall in love, and it's like different diverse backgrounds. Austin is very wealthy, and Liz lives in a poor neighborhood, and her mother's on drugs, and she's got a lot of roadblocks in her way. So for these two people who are vastly different to meet in the middle and join and fall in love, it's really pretty remarkable.
What made you decide to write paranormal erotic romance?
Well, I didn't start out writing erotic, and anybody who reads the first two books and then they read the third, they're like, whoa, because I kind of decided I wanted to be bad halfway through writing the second book. And plus, I had my editor kind of egging me on because she was like, I feel you holding back when you're writing the love scenes. There's an erotica writer in there. Girl, you better let her out. That's what she told me. And when she told me that, I started saying, well, hey, I think I am holding back. And after that, I didn't hold back anymore.
Oh,
so, yeah.
My word.
It gets pretty steamy.
You're one bad girl. You know that, right?
I know I am. But you know what? She's always told me, my editor, Lenore, that I need to write my heart. And that's where my heart is. My heart is in not mincing words and letting people know, you know, what's going on. I admire people who can write clean romance, but I can't do it.
Well, when you think about it, let's talk about that for a minute, because without the sex part, for lack of a better word,
mm-hmm.
there is no true romance. Because we know, even in the Puritan times, even in the Victorian times, they were rolling in the hay, and you can't tell me they weren't.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't believe in hiding anything from my readers. You know, I'm going to let them know what's going on, and it might – well, I don't think it's very graphic in the fact that my motto is hard sex, harder love, meaning anything that happens in those books is going to be tempered with love, even though they may go at each other pretty good. It's still going to be tempered with love. There's going to be love behind it. So I think that kind of takes the sting out of those harsh words sometimes.
And you're right. Because when two people are truly in love, it's a no-holds-barred situation. And it does
mm-hmm.
get steamy. Because
it gets real.
Yeah, because you have two people that want to give themselves to each other and get lost in each other, and there's no holding back.
Exactly.
Girl,
you go.
You're going to be writing for a very long time. I can see it now. Now, there is another thing that is very, very close to your heart. It has nothing to do with writing. It has to do with autism. And before the show, I told you that, to me, children that are labeled with autism are not disabled. They are unique because they are some of the most beautiful, talented, intellectual, intelligent people I have ever known.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so involved? And were you involved with the Authors for Autism book that went out here a while back?
No, I missed that somehow. I don't know how I did, but my son is on the spectrum, and that's why autism is really near and dear to my heart. He's an amazing, amazing young man, and he was diagnosed when he was 3. We originally took him in because I thought that he couldn't hear me, and they tested his hearing. His hearing was fine, but then they called me back and wanted to come out and talk to me. And they said that they suspected that he had autism. So,
well,
yeah.
It wasn't that he was tough.
Hmm?
It wasn't that he couldn't hear you. He was just too busy to listen to you. He was being creative.
Maybe.
Doing
Maybe.
Things.
Maybe.
You were not on his radar.
Something else was.
Exactly. And this, when... I interviewed, I told you this before the show, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, those of you who are listening, I don't know if y'all remember an interview I did with a young lady named Brittany Quagon. She is, like me, she is an empath, and she is a psychic intuitive, and she has partnered with Yale University, and they are doing a project that she is writing the CVS for. And this project is to take people that have been diagnosed, labeled, whatever word you want to use, as schizophrenics or autistic, and to see if they can break through the barrier, because it is believed that people that have been labeled this are, in fact, empaths. Now, those of y'all who do not know what an empath is someone that picks up another person or person's energy, whether it's good or bad. And a psychic and intuitive, like she and I are, we not only pick up the energy, but we pick up their thoughts, feelings, and moods. We can walk up to a complete stranger and tell them all about themselves in about 5 minutes or less, and they look at us like we've lost our minds. And it is believed that people who are labeled as autistic or schizophrenic are probably empaths and are psychic intuitives, and they don't know how to put a wall up to prevent all of the energy from seeping into their energy and sending them spiraling into the abyss. Because, Ashlyn, you think about it, we are made up of energy, and we're made up of positive and negative energy. And when you're in a room full of people, you pick up all of that energy, and it gets overwhelming. I know I have to leave a room because I get sensory overload. I'm sure your son probably has to go find a quiet place when he gets sensory overload because it's too much.
Yes, exactly.
And then if he, quote-unquote, acts out, people don't understand it.
Well, you know, that's the thing about my son. He's not your typical person with autism because he's always been very calm. He's never really had the aggression issues that some of my friends that have kids like him have. So we were blessed in that sense.
So all of his is internalized.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And the people around him, he picks up, and you're probably a pretty calm person yourself, as probably your husband too. So he picks up the positive energy that feeds off of y'all, and it helps him to keep his psychic at an even keel so that he can absorb the energy without it overloading him.
Right.
What, I know he's got to be creative. He has to be.
Oh, yeah, he is. He draws all the time. He loves to draw everything. He'll, like, watch TV, and he'll pause a movie and then just draw the scene that he's looking at.
Wow.
He's always been very artistic.
Have you thought about taking his artwork and doing a show with it?
No, I've never thought about that.
Wouldn't that be a powerful statement in your little community, maybe in the community center or at the library or the local school? Get with them, show them some of his work, and say, I would like to do a show showing his work, and if somebody likes it well enough, if he's willing, sell it, and then show him he's earned some money from his craft.
That would be a good idea. I'll think about that.
Because
that would be cool.
To keep his artwork hidden, to me, is cheating him of the thing that you and I enjoy, and that is the gratification of sharing our craft.
True. I never thought of it that way, but you're exactly right.
Well, I want you to get right on that as soon as we're done talking here, and then let me know how it works out when I bring you
back. Okay. I will. We'll keep in touch.
Because I'm just sitting here thinking, if he stops a movie while he's watching it, if he pauses that movie and then he draws that scene, that is phenomenal.
Yeah. And he's always been that way. Even when he was a little child, he would draw and just draw and draw. So, yeah.
Yeah, get some
but
nice
he's also a very loving person, too. He's a very loving, he has so much positive energy and so much just life that just, he's just amazing. I know for all of my books, I'm always saying how amazing he is and my acknowledgments because I've learned so much from him, just how to deal with adversity and how to deal with life. And, I mean,
well,
he's just an amazing person.
Think what it would do for his psychic to know that he, his craft, his talent, his passion, because apparently it is a passion, just like our
mm-hmm.
writing is a passion for us, it's a passion for him to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
That would just, you could get the local paper involved. That would be so mind-blowing. And let him help you price his pictures. If he wants to sell them for a dollar, that would be him.
Exactly.
But everything that he sells, that would you could say, look, son, you made this because of your passion. This is what you did. This is you earned this. This is yours.
Right.
And hell, start him a college fund or something.
Yeah.
Buying more sketch pads or more canvases or. I see this young man going so far. I can say in 10 more years, I knew him when. When he becomes a Van Gogh, I can say, I told his mama what he had in him. Because failure is not an option.
No, it is not.
Oh, I am so tickled. That just tickles me to death. So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first here. Ashlyn is going to take this ball and she's going to run with it in a few months, maybe 6 months to a year. We're going to hear how wonderful this young man has done and how far he's come and what he's done with his craft. Gives me chill bumps. Just gives me chill bumps. So now that we've plotted the course for your son. Let's talk about you and French. You took 5 years of French. Can you still speak it, or are you like me after being out of school for so long because I don't have anybody to speak French with? I forgot most of what I learned except when I'm writing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I wasn't ever really great at speaking it in school, but I was good at conjugating verbs and that sort of thing and kind of putting sentences together. And that last year, our teacher told us we were not to say anything in English in class. We were to speak in French the entire time. So that was interesting.
And how did you fare doing that?
Ooh, I learned how to say I needed to go to the restroom pretty good. But some of the other stuff I was kind of foggy with, but my best friend was really good, so she would kind of whisper things to me and tell me what I needed to say. But,
well,
yeah.
What folks don't understand, as in Spanish, with the French language, the verb usually comes before the noun.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Mm.
Maybe. Or is it the adjective comes? Anyway, it's backwards from the way we say English. Like, I'm going to the store. Somehow it's translated into French completely different.
Yeah. And then you have to think about, too, that the thing that got me was how objects could be either masculine or feminine.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was either, if it was masculine, it was L.E. If it was feminine, it was L.A. Like the chair is Lachaise. And how do you make an object masculine or feminine?
I remember it being sometimes U-N if it was masculine and U-N-E if it was feminine. So, yeah. And didn't like the feminine word sometimes have an E on the end and the masculine didn't?
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I kind of brushed up a little bit on that for my books, and Google Translate helped, too, a little bit.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah. But because the thing that I'm learning about the Gaelic is, gosh, sometimes they pronounce the words, and it sounds so harsh when they pronounce it.
I can't even pronounce the words. I have to look them up to spell them.
Oh, yeah, and what you're looking at never sounds like what you're reading.
No.
Yeah.
Did you watch the series? I forgot what channel it was on, but it was called The Outsiders. And they lived up on a mountain in Kentucky. They were from Scotland.
I've never watched that before.
Oh, honey, you should have.
I need to watch that.
Yes, because they use the old language. They call their call their father Fay.
Yeah.
Fa. He was my Fa. And some of the dialect that they used was the old Celtic dialect.
And they're saying that the Gaelic is dying now because not a lot of people are speaking it. So it's a dying language. And that's a shame.
It is a shame. And you know why it's dying? Because it was outlawed by the British when they overran. You know, Scotland has the lowlands, the midlands, and the highlands. And they couldn't get up to the highlands because of the mountain range. Well, the lowlands and the midlands, they lost the original Gaelic language because the British outlawed it. But the highlands still speak it.
Right.
And they're trying to rejuvenate it in the schools so it will not become a dying language.
Oh, gosh, I hope they do because, I mean, like I said, some of the consonants are kind of harsh when they pronounce them, but it's still such a beautiful, beautiful language. And especially, I cannot pronounce it, but I know in my book Austin tells Liz that he loves her in Gaelic and just the way the person had translated it sounded so beautiful.
Yes. And it sounded, you know, we say I love you all the time to people, but in the Gaelic language it's musical.
It is.
It's with the feel, it's with emotion, it's with a feeling from the heart that somewhere along the English translation we lose that.
That's true in any language. You lose something when it's translated into English.
And I don't know why.
I'm not sure why either, but, I mean, I just love just hearing. I'll go on YouTube sometimes and just, like, listen to people speak it because it kind of inspires me to write that character, to listen to someone speak it.
Well, it puts you in the setting of what you're trying to write,
right?
And get your mindset. On my bucket list is probably yours is to go to the Highlands of Scotland.
Mine is to go everywhere that I've written, and that's a lot of places. That's a lot of places that I've written about in these books. So,
but can you and see the Highlands are still rustic and not highly inhabited because the terrain is so barren and rough, it's hard to make a living there. So you don't have a whole, you have miles and miles and miles of nothing but rocks and crevices and mountain goats and thistle and all of that before you come upon a small village. And
right.
in many of those villages, they still don't use electricity.
Ooh, wow. Isn't that something?
That would be so neat to go to the highlands that was conquered by the Vikings. How far back did you go in your research?
I did more contemporary research. I haven't gone far, far back. But I do, like, watch shows that go back to, like, the 1400s. So
well,
I kind of get an idea.
If you go far enough back, Scotland was invaded by the Vikings.
Ooh.
And they came in on the Netherlands sort of bumps up in that sea up there that's so rough and tumbling. Well, that's who settled the Netherlands was the Vikings, and they came over, and at the time, the Romans were there. They came over and conquered the Romans, and then they intermarried and melted their language and their customs and eventually became the Scottish people.
Oh. Well, that's something I didn't know. You learn something new every day, huh?
and then the Irish... Some of them came over from Ireland, and, of course, the Scots hated the Irish, and they both hated the British, but they all intermarried. So you have basically three different cultures, well, more than that, five or six different cultures on that little island. But still on that little island, you have three separate dialects, and subcultures, because the lowlands are very metropolitan, more British, fast-paced, yada, yada, yada. The Midlands are a mixture of farmland and city life. Then when you get over the mountain, you've digressed to, like, the early 1800s.
Right. And there are a lot of clan wars, too.
Yes, yes. In fact,
they warred within themselves.
Yes, they did. They loved a good fight.
Yeah, they did.
And they didn't mind fighting with each other.
That's true. I do allude to the fact that my guy is descended from Highlanders. Supposedly in his father's library, there are some broadswords that were supposedly their ancestors. So I hadn't really gotten into the whole going way back in his history because we haven't even been to Scotland yet. But, I mean, I've made it apparent that that's where he's from and he believes in certain things and he's Catholic, so there are rules that go there. And then there's a Mackenzie Code, which means that he's not to be with a woman until he's married. So
well,
that doesn't mean my boy's an angel. Because he's not. But it makes it more difficult for him.
Makes those steamy scenes a little bit more steamy.
Yeah, and the waiting.
And that's half the fun is the waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever decide to go back into Scotland and go back into its history, you just got a mini history lesson.
I sure did, and I love researching, so you've just given me something to do this weekend. I realize as I'm writing this third book for them, okay, you've talked about Scotland. We know he's Scottish, but where exactly did this young man's family come from? I just started to piece that together. Where did they come from in Scotland? Where does the family in Scotland live? Because they're influential and they have money, so I had to decide where he's actually from.
And there are a lot of rich people, I don't say a lot, there are rich clans in the Highlands.
Mm.
And see, the Highlands comprise of the upper part, the upper third of Scotland, plus there's some islands that are part of the Highlands in that upper third. So he could have been from one of those little islands over to the west.
Right.
That the Vikings and the Romans loved for so long.
Yeah, it's been interesting making his pass because I hadn't really thought about it. And I said, well, you know what? You're going to have to write him bare at some point because he's going to go home. He's going to take this young woman that he loves home. Where is home? So, yeah.
Well, now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah. I've been kind of working on that because it's getting closer to the point where he's going to have to take her home. And,
so,
yeah.
Where are you in this series? Have you written, how many books have you written in this series?
The Alterity series, I'm writing the third book in that series. It's called Altered. And the Vampire series, the Progeny series, I'm writing the seventh book in that series.
Wow. Now, ladies and gentlemen, y'all can't go now because you have no idea. The first book is called The Progeny. The second book is Blood Bonds. The third book is Blood Promise. The fourth book is Blood Reborn. The fifth book is Yearning, a Blood Reborn novel. The sixth book is Blood Bewitched. And then the seventh book is Belonging, a Blood Bewitched novel. Then in the series that we're talking about, the breathtaking, handsome Scottish lord with the kilt, the first book is Alterity, the second book is Adoration, and the third book that you're working on is Altered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also have something called Money Shot Ink Studios.
How did I know you were going to ask about that? That's a third project that I'm working on as well, and basically this series is going to take an inside look into a porn studio and the actors and actresses that work there. And the first book that I'm working on now is Lauren's book.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all cannot go yet. You have to wait until this show is over. Then you can go get your hot, steamy, little, sexy, erotica romance. What in the world made you go inside a porn studio?
Well, only I would try and find love in the porn industry. That's what my editor told me. I don't know. I just like writing outside of the box and thinking about things that maybe other people wouldn't think about. And I feel like people that are porn actors and actresses can find love.
And all the
wrong
places.
I think there's love for everyone.
They could.
So we're going to explore that in that little mini series.
And how many are you going to have in that little series?
I'm not even sure yet. I know Lauren's book is the one I'm working on now, and Taylor is going to be second. And Morgan is going to be third, and after that, I can't tell you.
You got enough fodder to stay in the porn industry from now until Armageddon.
But you know what? The cool thing that I always wanted to do with these books is all of the series are somehow related. In the Progeny series, Shauna, who is Asher's love, Shauna is Liz in Alterity series' cousin.
Wow.
Yeah, and then in the Alterity series, there's a guy named Royce Rhodes. He's like this big super rock star that helps Austin and Liz get their big break. His wife, Fallon, works for Money Shots, Inc. So that connects those two series together.
So, ladies and gentlemen, once you get hooked on Ashlyn's books, you're not going to be able to put them down because all roads lead to Rome.
I just thought that would be cool to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
And at some point, Liz and Austin and Shauna and Asher will get together, but that's going to be kind of difficult because they're going to hide the fact that they're vampires and such from them. But we'll get around to that.
Oh, my goodness. Girl. Yeah, you're going to be one of my regulars on this show because inquiring minds have to know.
So yeah.
You done been sucked into this show.
Well, I will be more than happy to come back for sure.
Because I got to know about what's going to happen in your immortal place there.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, it's not only the romance dials up, but as that progeny series goes along, there's more danger for these two, too. Oh, yeah. Because Asher is supposed to save us from the demons. He's the vampire warrior that's going to save us all. But before he saves us, it's going to pretty much be hell on earth.
When you started the progeny series, did you know what direction you were going to take it?
I absolutely did not. It actually wasn't supposed to be but three books. But when I got to that third book, I said, hey, these guys have more story to tell, and another romance bloomed that I didn't even know was going to happen. So actually, that series is two love stories. That's why the fifth book and the seventh book have different titles, because it's actually another love story within that series.
That tends to happen with the characters. Do your characters get in your head and then tell you what you're going to write?
I dream about them, and that really scared me the first time that happened.
Well, it was just your destiny, my friend.
It was just like, I was like, oh, gosh. And then I dreamed about these demons that I write, and I don't enjoy that very much. But, you know, it just happens that way. But I do enjoy dreaming about them, and I started to dream about the progeny characters more, which is them probably telling me that I need to write them more because I've been so busy with the Alterity series.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really weird.
I was working on the Lily Rose first and three, and it takes place in Scotland in the Highland. That's why I did so much research on Scotland, because she'd been dancing around in my head for 2 or 3 years. So I finally sat down and started doing the research and started writing, and it was vampires and fairies and shapeshifters and witches. And then all
mm-hmm.
of a sudden, Jean Lafitte, while I was talking to Sherry Rensler on her interview, he pops up and he says, hey, lady, you know that book you started about 4 years ago? Well, I'll be wanting it now.
Mm-hmm. So I bet you went on and started writing again, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, because I'd already mm-hmm. written several chapters, and I could hardly talk to Sherry because the voice in my head wouldn't shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And
they want to be written, those characters will let you know.
Oh, absolutely they will let
mm-hmm.
you know. And
they will come in your dreams. They will get in your mind while you're trying to work.
Uh-huh. And if you don't write the story the way they want it, they won't let you write at all.
Oh, yeah. Mine are very stubborn. Austin and Liz are not as stubborn as Asher and Shauna, but I think that's because I haven't written them as much. But, yeah, they're starting to get where, well, that's not really how it happened. Now, you write it the way it's supposed to happen.
Or else I'm not going to let you write another word. You can just
exactly.
sit and look at that
exactly.
screen until it turns purple.
And see, and only another author can truly understand that.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I so get it, because just out of the blue, I was just sitting here talking to Sherry, and Jean Lafitte and his little French accent popped up
Ooh.
And said, oh, ma cher, it's my turn. Lily Rose, she be having to wait a while.
Mm-hmm.
My turn. I'm going, oh,
mm-hmm.
for heaven's sakes.
The voices in our heads, aren't they wonderful?
And people wonder why. People say, Yvonne, are you crazy? I say, no, I'm crazy to keep going insane. Because if
mm-hmm.
I'm insane, then the voices don't talk to me. But if I'm just crazy, they carry on conversations.
Ah, that's true.
But I'd be lost without them. I've lived with them for so long, I would be totally lost without them.
Isn't that true? I feel like all of my little book babies should have bedrooms in my house, because they're that real to me.
I agree.
And it, like, kind of makes me feel kind of strange when someone will say, oh, Asher or Quinn, they're so hot. And I'm like, you're talking about my kids.
I agree. Oh, I so agree. And if they hate one of my villains, it tickles me to death, because that's what they're supposed to do.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, sometimes, too, I start feeling sorry for mine. Well, except for Jennifer. I don't feel sorry for her. I don't really like her. But I think to myself, you created her, and you don't like her. So what does that say about you?
It says you're a great author. It's a wonderful storyteller. You're not going to believe this, my dear friend. We're at the end of our hour.
Oh, my goodness.
I told you you would say that. Didn't I tell you you would say
you
that?
You did. You did. Oh, it's been so much fun.
Well, see, you have to come back now. I'm booking for May, so now I got to bring you back in May because you'll have some new books out, I'm sure.
Or I'll be close to the end of one, and I might can tell you something.
Okay. So real quick, tell the folks where you can be found.
Okay. I can be found at ashlynlane.com. That's my name, .com. I can be found on Facebook at Ashlyn Lane, Twitter at Q Lane, QLANE. And all the books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, Kobo, A&R, Mondoria, and Indigo.
And see, ladies and gentlemen, she thought she was going to be nervous, but 5 minutes into this conversation, it was just me and her having a wonderful conversation discussing the voices in our head, which we know are real.
Mm-hmm.
They are real. So tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, L.L. Moore will be on tap at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It is Gray Dixon and her granddaughter. They have written a book together. So join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Ashlyn, thank you, my darling, for spending an hour with me. It was an absolute hoot. But when the show goes off the air, don't hang up because I have some things to tell you.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know at the end of the show that there are several things that I say because I believe them. I believe that we as artists are only as successful as we encourage and help others to be, and that's what this show is about, to encourage people like Ashlyn to talk about her craft and show her passion for y'all to say, no, you cannot go now, you have to wait a few more minutes. We'll be done in a few more minutes. And to give these wonderful, wonderful creative artists exposure in places they might never get it. So with that being said, each one of them are special. They don't just feel special. They are special. And this is what I'm asking all of you to do. Don't just feel special. Be special. And the difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. And if you don't believe me, ladies and gentlemen, go out and try it. If you want to be somebody different than who you are today, then today do something different. If you want to achieve success and greatness, please stop asking permission because nobody's going to give it to you. If anything, they're going to discourage you because they won't want you in the bottom of that pit where they are. Misery loves company. So to achieve greatness, just do like we have to do. Go out and do it. Your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. And ladies and gentlemen, you know I say this every night of every show. How you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, that is your trademark. And if you don't believe me, try it. People will forget your name. People will forget you, what you look like. But people will never, ever, ever forget how you made them feel. And Ashlyn, I hope that tonight that you have been made to feel like the special, wonderful, wonderful creative artist that you are, and that your appearance on this show tonight, I am so honored and so grateful. And I can't wait for you to come back so we can talk about the characters again. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember that tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, L.L. Moore will be here. Next Wednesday, we will have one show because I will be leaving on Thursday and we'll be back on Sunday. So join us at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, Eastern Standard Time, with author L.L. Moore. And remember this. This is Yvonne Mason at Off the Chain with my beautiful, beautiful, beautiful guest, Ashlyn Lynn. See, I can't even talk anymore. I'm so excited. Ashlyn Lynn, Ashlynnelayinne. Go and get her books. Until tomorrow night, we say good evening. Okay, the show is now off the air, but everything we say will show up in the archives because that's the way Blog Talk works. But what I wanted to tell you is when we hang up from here,
okay,
the show will go up into archives.
Okay.
I will tag you in it on Facebook,
okay,
and I want you to take this show and I want you to promote it everywhere. This is one of my gifts to you.
Okay.
And then tomorrow, I will put it, it automatically goes up on iTunes, YouTube, FM.com, and TuneIn Radio.
Okay.
Tomorrow, I will put it up on SoundCloud, MixCloud, Spreaker, Podcast, and Podcast Garden.
Oh,
and
goodness.
When I get it uploaded to those different podcasts, I will tag you on Facebook in the links, take it and run with it. My
okay.
gift to you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, my darling. I'm so glad you had so much fun.
Oh, I did. I did. Oh, gosh, thank you so much for this, the opportunity to appear, because I don't think that I ever would have had the, you know, bravery to do it were it not for you.
Oh, honey, it doesn't take bravery. It just takes jumping in the deep end.
Well, that I did. My husband, I've been so nervous today. He was like, babe, you're going to be fine.
And you did. We got to talking about all the things we loved, and writing and Celts and French and vampires and hot steamy sex and the voices in our head.
Yeah.
So I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, because I had a ball.
I did. Thank you so much.
And you will come back, right?
Yes, ma'am, I will. You just let me know when in May you want me to come back.
Okay, as soon as I get off. Well, I tell you what, my shows run Wednesday through Saturday.
Okay.
There's the third weekend, the weekend of the 17th, I won't be on air because I'll be gone. But
okay.
you pick any one of those days, and you send me a private message as soon as we get off from here, and I'll put you on the books.
Okay, so the 26th. Would be good if I wanted that, because the Friday, it worked out good for me, a Friday or Saturday, because I do work all week at a day
so
job.
Let me
so.
Go, since I don't have a headset on, let me get my little trusty book, and I'm pretty sure
well,
I don't have anybody.
Last year.
I'm pretty sure I don't have anybody on the 26th. I got to unpile it from where I was writing today. Okay. I have to keep a calendar a year ahead of time because I'm already booked up through April. Okay,
wow.
the 26th, I'm open. So, yeah, the 26th would be great.
Okay. Well, I'll put that on my 2018 calendar.
Absolutely, because we had so much fun. We have to do a repeat.
Yeah, by then I should be finished with Altered, I hope.
You should. I
you
have
should.
Faith in you. And then you can tell me about the boy and how wonderful he did at his showing, at his art showing.
Yeah.
And I
that's
say the
something
boy,
I'm going to get on tomorrow, get him some blank pads and let him just kind of have fun.
Sweet. And I say the boy with love. That's what I call my
I
son. When
yeah.
when the phone rings, it's when the kids, I'll say, it's the boy. And,
yeah.
and they know that it's with love.
Yeah.
So let me know, because I'm so excited for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you're just such an awesome person. I'm so glad that I did that event and we kind of connected that way.
Me too. See, things happen for a reason. People are put in our
lives. I've always believed in fate. That's why I write about it so much. I believe
yep.
in fate.
And God puts people in our lives when we need them.
Yes, he does.
And tonight I needed you. Believe it or not, tonight I needed you and your humor.
Oh.
So it was a two-way street, my darling. I appreciate it so, so much.
I do, too. Thank you so much. And I'm looking so forward to coming back in May and keeping in contact with you now that
oh,
we're
absolutely.
Friends on Facebook. So.
And if you want
and to. And I subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. So.
Sweet. So you can go back and pull up the last one I did with Brittany, and we talk about that project at Yale.
Okay, and I do want to read about that and listen to that podcast.
Yes. And feel free to post your books on my page, because that's what I do. I support other authors. I support other artists. I mean, my page is filled with other artists putting stuff. So pimp your books on my page. I don't care.
Well, you know what? We forgot. I think you put it on the thing where you play it, that those two books are 99 cents now.
Yes, it's on there. It's on there,
so people will read it if they go on there.
Yeah, and when they go to Amazon, they'll see it.
They'll see it, right.
Okay. So we're good to go.
We are, and thank you again so much for having me.
Thank you, darling, for agreeing to come. It was an absolute blast.
It was awesome.
So now you can go tell your husband that after the first 2 minutes you were not nervous anymore and you did fantastic.
Well, you know what? I think he was in his office across the hall listening.
And he heard us laughing.
I told him, if you're going to listen, shut the door and put on your headphones so I can't hear you.
Well, I hope he was, and I hope he knows what a wonderful guest you were. Nobody would have known that this was your first time as a guest. They would have thought that you were an old pro at this.
Yeah. Well, it was easy. You made it easy.
Thank you, my darling. Well, anybody else that you know that you want them to come on the show, send them to me. I'm always looking for guests. Always.
Well, I'm going to definitely tell my editor about that, because she is a writer, too. She writes steamy westerns. And, she writes some pretty good stuff. So I'm going to let her know about that.
Okay, and tell her to friend me. And
her name is Lenore Elliott.
Okay. And we'll get her on the show, too.
Okay.
All right, darling, I will let you go and enjoy the rest of your evening, and give that young man a big hug if he allows you to hug him, and tell him that's from a lady that's never met him but loves him with all of her heart.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, darling. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.